Rambanan Parsha Shmini. So the Parsha begins with the karbonos that Aaron and his sons brought on the Shmini Shel Miluim. And the Ramban points out they're very similar to the karbonos brought on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur we have the karbonos of Aaron, we have the karbonos of Kohanim, and the karbonos of Yisrael. Right, you have the par Kohanim, and then the Seir that is brought for Kal Yisrael. So similarly, here on the Shmini Shel Miluim, we had Aaron bringing, there was a Seir Lechatas LeYisrael, like there always is in Yom Kippur, and there was a Par Shel Aaron, except it wasn't a Par, it was an Egel. And Aaron noticed that, and that was meant as a Kapara for the Chet Egel. So the Ramban points out that perhaps Aaron knew what he was supposed to burn, even though we had a Chatas Chitzon here, and normally that's not burnt. He knew it was supposed to be like Yom Kippur, and that's why he knew to burn it. So these karbonos are supposed to be like Yom Kippur, with the exception of the par being an eagle, because it was a kapara on Aaron himself, for the Chet Egel. And the Ramban brings the Chazal that the Mizbeach appeared, looked to him like a shore, and others, everything was reminding him of the Chet Egel, as Ramban says, because he was a Kaddosh, and he had no Chet other than this, and he was afraid, and Moshe said, don't worry, you're fine, you'll bring this kapur, it's all good. And it just points out also, it says, v'chaper ba'adcho v'adham, you'll be mechaper on yourself, and then the nation, that's the way it has to go, which is, yavo zakai v'chaper alachayev. You always have the tahar person being metahir on the tame person, the person who didn't do the Averus being mitahir, the person who's chayiv. So he becomes Tahar first, and then Klai Yisrael. We have the concept, not that the Rabbanus mentions this, but the concept when Tehil Sidayim, right, in the morning you do wash on one hand and wash on the other hand. It's always Yavo Zakai V'yechapir Al Tama. You wash one, and that one then hand washes the other, because you're always having the Tahar being mitahir on the tame. Okay, then afterwards we have that Aaron lifts up his hands and he blesses the nation. And Rashi says, it's in Pasuk Chav Bei, Aaron is Yadav Alam VaYevarchim, he blesses Kal Yisrael. Rashi says, this is Birkas Kohanim. Like he said, Yivrecha, Yair Hashem, Yisav. It was a regular Birkas Kohanim. So the Ramban says, Birkas Kohanim is in Parshas Naso. So how is he doing Birkas Kohanim now? There is, Aaron was only commanded to do Birkas Kohanim in Parshas Naso. What do you mean now he's doing Birkas Kohanim? So the Ramban suggests that maybe it's Lav Dafka. It's not Birkas Kohanim. It was just blessing them, like Shlomo at the time when they did the Chanukah Beis Hamikdash, right? They brought, so when it said Shlomo came out to bless the nation. So the same thing, maybe. Who says it's Birkas Kohanim? Just Aaron went out to bless the nation. Except that he's got a brisa that sounds like Rashi. Rashi says, the Ramban brings a brisa that says, this is a hidden bracha that you don't know. Chazar akasa v'pirish lahalan, and then the pasuk comes and explains it later. So it sounds like from that brisa that we don't know what bracha Aaron did. Then you'll find in the Parshas Naso is Birkas Kohanim. That sounds a lot like Rashi. However, the Ramban says not necessarily. It could be that this one is hidden, and then the one later on is explanatory and tells you a different bracha he made them, and maybe this one was not like that. Or just that the bracha Aaron gave now was, it may have been Birkas Kohanim, but it wasn't one he was mitzvah, and wasn't the one Ledoros. So the mitzvah Ledoros that was in Parshas Naso. The one in this parsha could have been just Harosha, or Aaron doing it on his own, whatever it was. It doesn't mean necessarily that the point is, as we know, the Ramban always doesn't like things out of order. So to say the Parshas Naso came before this Parsha, he doesn't like. He does say it's a possibility. It's a possibility the Pirkas Konim was actually said before and is kind of out of order. But since he doesn't like to say that, it could be that that's just the Mitzvah Ledoros was later on in Naso. And this was not a Mitzvah Ledoros. This was like Harasha, it was done on his own. Or the other possibility is that it wasn't exactly Pirkas Konim either. Those are different options. Okay, then we have that the Vateitze Eish Milifnei Hashem. So we have the Chet of Nadav and Avihu. What did Nadav and Avihu do wrong? So this is obviously not clear. There's long gemaras about this. The Ramban explains it kabbalistically, so I'm not a Mekubal and I can't explain it to you fully. I can just tell you what he says, that they were, it says, Vayakriv l'fnei Hashem eish zara. It's a strange fire. It wasn't just that they were makriv something that they shouldn't have, it was makriv and eish zara. So basically the Ramban says, Keteres has, as I understand it, something to do with Midas Adin, right? It stops Magefa. And it says, Yasimu Ketura ba'apecha. Af is like anger. There's some sheikhas to Keteres and Midas Adin, and the Keteres therefore stops Midas Adin. And they were makriv, whatever this means, to the Midas Adin and not to Yudke Vavke, which is Hashem's name, which is not that. That's Hashem's Shem HaMiyuchad. So they were makriv it to the Eish Zara. Again, I don't mean in the Avodah Zara kind of way. Whatever to the concept of the Midas Adin. Again, I'm not a Makubal. I can't explain it to you for real. Just saying the general words. That was the issue. They were makriv this Eish Zara, like to this concept of to the Midas Adin and not to the Shem HaMiyuchad, whatever that is. But that was their hate. Why this is interesting is because right after this, as we all know, they get Hashem talks to Aaron and gives him the mitzvah of Shesuye Yayin, that you can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash and do a voodoo when you're drunk. So the Ramban explains that it's not the pshat that there's something that's wrong with being drunk when you're doing a voodoo or tipsy. It's not in and of itself. The point is, you see what happened to Nadab and Abihu? If you have the wrong machshavos, which is what he's saying they did, if you have the wrong machshavos, so then you'll get messed up and they died. So if you come in drunk, you are likely to not have your machshavos set up properly. That's the problem with being drunk. It's going to mess up your machshavos. So that's why it wasn't that the chait of Nadab ben Avihu was in and of itself being drunk. It could be, depending on whichever, you know, Pirush in the Gemara you want to go with, it could be that they themselves had drank, or it's just saying for the future, the point is that because they had the wrong machshavas, either because the wine led them to that, or they didn't have wine, but they just had the wrong machshavas, the reason why Shesuye Yayin comes right afterwards is not that it's not fair that they weren't told and they got killed for something, and then we tell everybody that they shouldn't have been drunk. That can cause bad machshavas. That's why it's said right afterwards, because their bad machshavas were the problem. Okay, the Ramban brings then the Machlokas Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, about whether they died inside or outside the Heichal. Rabbi Elazar says they died outside the Heichal, a place that Leviim could go, as it says that they were dragged out, Pachutan Osam. So if so, what does it mean, Ve'emusuf Ne'ashem? It means the Malach killed them and took them outside. Rabbi Akiva says, no, they died in the Heichal, and that's why it says, Ve'emusuf Ne'ashem. So how could it be that they carried them out in their Kutonuses? It means that they used... they dragged them out with some kind of hook or whatever. So I'm just mentioning this because the Ramban brings us to say the fact that it says a place that the Leviim could go, Kohanim can't go into the Heichal either just for fun. It's called Bi'ur Kanus. You can't just walk in. No, even a Kohen can't walk into a Heichal just like this, but to carry out something Tamei that they can. So the Kohanim could go into the Heichal to take out someone Tamei, but Leviim could not. Anyway, that's their Machlokas where it was. And he just says that, which it says that he carried them out, Bechuton Osam, is because they were wearing big day kahuna, so they took him out in their big day kahuna, they put them on Tachrichin, and then they were matire the big day kahuna for others to use. Okay, then it says that they should not, the remainers, those that remained, Aaron and his other two children, they should not do Minhage Avelos, they don't, let their hair grow long and all that stuff. They're not Matami the Mason. So he just points out that in general, a Kohen Gadol is Makriv Onein. A Kohen Gadol can bring Karbanos even if he's an Onein. So a regular Kohen cannot. So when it says here in this Pasuk that they can't be Noeg Minhagi Avelos and they shouldn't leave the Ol Moed, so he says there's a lav in general for a kohen to leave avoda. That's a lav for all kohanim. No kohen. There's no kohen. If a kohen is doing avoda, they're never allowed to leave the Ol Moed. In other words, you can't leave in the middle of avoda. If you're doing avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, you can't leave the Beis HaMikdash. You the kohen cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. It's a chilul Hashem. He's in the middle of osik be'avoda. He walks out. If you want to apply that to nowadays, and you walk out in the middle of davening, anyway, but that would obviously not be a real lav. But this lav is, it's a chilul Hashem, and then it's a lav. It's a lav for a kohen to be miniach avoda, ever. And we learn it from here. Min ha-mikdash lo yetze. In other words, the Kohen Gadol, who can be makriv onin, he cannot leave the mikdash, because if he's in the middle of doing avoda and he can do avoda, it's leaving your avoda. You're not allowed to do that. That's a law for all Kohanim. Kohen Gadol only when he's an onin, because he could be makriv when he's an onin. Okay, so so they're not allowed to leave the mikdash. One explanation of that he also brings from a Chazal is that, you know, when Beis Din kills someone, Haruge Beis Din, so the relatives have to go over and be shoal. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says this, they have to, in Memvav, they have to be shoal b'shlom ha'edim and b'shlom ha'dayonim. They have to go over to show like there's no hard feelings. The krovim of the person who got killed by Beis Din have to go over and ask them how they're doing, to show that they understand they're the Beis Din and Hashem, the Shekhinah is with them, and they made, you know, they know they did what Hashem wanted. So the Ramban brings this Chazal that similarly here, that they were not allowed to leave because this was like Haruke Beis Din Shalmala. And there was a special thing that they were not allowed to leave, as if to say they have to be shol b'shlom hadayanim, meaning Hashem, so to speak. They weren't allowed to leave because it was Yom Simcha of Hashem, and it was like that concept. He also mentions that there's a din of Meshuach Milchama, right, not the Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen Meshuach Milchama. He's a little bit like a Kohen Gadol, in that he's not Noeg Minhagi Avelos, and he's not Matam of the Mesim when he becomes an Onein, but he's not Makriv Onein. So Elazar and Isamar, since they had Shemana Mishka on them, they were like that for their whole lives, that they were like that level of Meshuach Milchama, he suggests as a possibility, which explains why they couldn't be Makriv Onein, but Aaron could. Okay, as we mentioned, then we have the Isra of drinking when you do avodas. The Ramban points out that that's only if you do avoda. Just going into the mizbeach drunk is not the part you're chayev for. Is doing avoda when you're chayev. He mentions that the Rambam holds you're chayev even not wine, even anything that's mishaker. And also that the lav of being drunk having drank something when you're doing avoda does not apply to a bama. Like a personal bama in someone's backyard, that lav does not apply there. Okay. Then this fascinating question that we know it's Moshe was the rush, the seer of Rosh Chodesh that was burnt. So Moshe asked after it, you know, what happened to it? And Rashi brings us, right, that Moshe asked, maybe you were Zorek it's Dam when you were owning him, maybe that was the problem, why'd you burn the seer of Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it's because you were owning him and you sprinkled the blood when you're owning him. And Aaron said, remember there, Moshe was talking to Aaron's children out of covenant, and Aaron says, what do you think? They were makriv? I was makriv today, and I'm a Kohen Gadol. I could be makriv onin. So that wasn't the reason why we burnt the Seirah Shel Rosh Chodesh. The Ramban asks, and Aizen Akasha, really a basic question. What are you talking? They became aninos after all the onins, after all the karbanos were brought, right? It was by the Ketoros. The karbanos had all been brought already. Then afterwards, the Bnei Aaron brought the Kataras, Nadav and Avihu, and then they died. So, nobody was an Onain when they brought the Karbanos. So what was this discussion with Aaron? So the Ramban says it could be Moshe didn't know and what exactly had happened, and maybe that they had found some blood left over afterwards that they sprinkled later. And Aaron's response when he said, oh, but I'm a Kohen Gadol, I could do it, it was a Masu Matan Shal Halacha. That's what he writes. That's his words. Masu Matan Shal Halacha, yeah. But, of course, the karbanos had all been brought before they were owning it. Then we have the halachas of kashrus. So, the first thing is the animals that you can eat. So, the Torah, as we all know, says that it has to have split hooves and chew its cud. What about if it only has one? So, the Torah says, gives you a list of four animals or species of types of animals that have one of the two. So it says the Gamal, the Shafan, the Arnevis, and the Chazir. Those are both examples of animals with only one of the split, of the Simanim, and those are non-kosher. Okay, and the Torah is telling us those are the only four types of animals that have one of the two Simanim. Okay, what about a horse, say, that has nothing, has none of the Simanim? Can you eat that? We all know no, but actually there's no Pasuk that says that directly. So, there's Rashi. Rashi says that we learn it from a Kal Vachomer. If you can't eat it, if you need two simanim, and the Torah tells you if you have one simon, it's no good. Kol Shekein, if you have no simanim, it's no good. Okay. So the Ramban's problem with that is that can't be a halacha, because if you eat horse, you get malchus. And there's a thing called ein mazhirin min adin, ein onshin min adin. You're not going to get malchus. If the only way we know something is wrong is a kav chomer, we're not going to give out malchus. And you do get malchus for eating, say, horse meat. So, what Rashi says, he says, can't, either is going like the Man Dharma that says, that you, yes, onshin min adin, or that price is just wrong, but it can't be what Rashi says is halacha, because then you wouldn't get malchus. There are others actually that say it's only an asay. It's a lav hava mechlal asay. In other words, it says eat animals with two of these simanim. So therefore, if you eat something without those two simanim, it's an asay. Anyway, all that, the Ramban says halacha, you get malchus. So you have to find a pasuk where it says don't eat horse meat. I picked horse out of a hat. Something with no simanim. So the Ramban says, if it says, you can't eat chazir because it doesn't have malagera, and you can't eat shafan because it's not mafris parsa, so that just tells you if it's not mafris parsa, not malagera, you can't eat it. So he understands that to be mafurish in the pasuk, where it tells you don't eat this because it doesn't have that, don't eat this because it doesn't have that, so then they qualify. Horse qualifies because it both doesn't have this and doesn't have that. So therefore you would get malchus on it. Okay, that's one important thing. That second half of the pasuk that says if it does have two simanim, you can eat that. So that's an asay, sort of. So we can have lav haba mechal asays from there. What's that? So the Rambam says it's to tell you that human flesh, cannibalism, human flesh is an asay. It says to eat basar or that's going to be an asay. So the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban doesn't know where he got this from. Where do you see that? When we're talking about asay, just so you understand, you know, we're talking about human flesh. It could be something relevant to your life. You know, most of us are cannibals, hopefully. Some people pick out their skin and kind of swallow it when they pick out their skin. It's an asay according to the Ramban. We can't eat human flesh. So anyway, the Ramban says he doesn't agree. He says maybe the Rambam got it from, there's a drush in the Gemara that says from this pasuk of you might think the basar mahalcheshtayim, the chal of mahalcheshtayim would be a los asay, the flesh and the milk of mahalcheshtayim would be a los asay. So it says on this, it says los ochlu zeb los asay achilasav in basar mahalcheshtayim, chal of mahalcheshtayim los asay al achilasam. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. So he said, the Ramban says that perhaps the Rambam understood from that, that there's no los asay, but there is an asay. So the problem the Ramban says, obviously we all know, we don't all know, but it's a fact that the milk that comes, the milk and the dam that comes from a human, is not usher, right? You're allowed to drink, if you wanted, mother's milk. Not direct, but in a cup, you could drink mother's milk. It's milk that comes from a human is not kosher. It is kosher. There's no isser even derabanan on it. There's nothing wrong with eating it, drinking it, whatever. So, and if he says a person was not kosher, so then it would be, there's a rule, kla yotzi min atame tami. Anything that comes out from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. So if a human was not kosher, so then the milk of a person should not be kosher. So, therefore, the Ramban says the Rambam is not correct. There is no asay on eating human flesh. Now, if a person's dead, so then their flesh is usher, because a dead person is usher b'hana. But we're talking about a live person. A live person, if somehow their skin came off or their flesh came off, eating it would, according to the Ramban, not be an asay, whereas the Rambam holds it is. Okay, that's just interesting. Okay, then we have the fish. The fish have to be fins and scales, not purificas keses. So the Ramban just says over, that's a halacha, and it's a din of Shulchan Aruch, that when we say a fish has to have fins and scales, it's kind of a misnomer. The scales, we know the ikar is the scales, right? Because of an animal, there are animals with fins but no scales, but no animals with skins and no, with scales but no fins, so, an animal, if it has scales, it has fins. So fins and scales, the main thing is the scales that you're looking for. What kind of scales? Do you know a shark has scales? Shark's not kosher. The Ramban explains to you that when we say scales, it means the kind of scales that can be peeled off with your fingernails. You think of those fish that they, you know, you can scratch at the skin of a dead fish with scales and it comes off on your finger. Scratch at a shark, it's not going to come off because it's part of the skin. You'd have to rip through the body to get out the scales. Anyway, so it means the kind of scales that you can scrape off with your fingers. That's the scales of fins and scales, which is a very big deal. You can't look in the encyclopedia to see if something has scales and see if it's kosher. You have to be able to scrape it off with your fingers. Like I said, shark is an example of a fish with scales. That does not count because you can't scrape off its scales with your fingers. The Ramban adds a reasoning, a time for the mitzvah. Why would it be that animals with fins and scales are better? So he says, because fish with fins and scales always live in the upper parts of the water. And somehow that's better for, better health-wise. Then we have that the Sheretz HaMayim, is not kosher. Anything that has no snapir, it's kaskasis, and it says, kol nefesh chaya, or nefesh chaya. So what's that nefesh chaya that it means? So the Ramban says it's chayos shebayam, the animals in the sea. What are those? He says that there are some that walk. Okay. And he brings a medrash, and the nefesh chaya is a mermaid, which is cool. You can look it up, you don't blame me. Okay. But it's not Matame Bohel. Okay, anyway, those are not kosher, they have fins and scales. Then we have the birds. So, the Torah doesn't tell us exactly the simanim of the birds, but the Gemara does. And the main simon, the Ramban says, is the doris. And any oaf that is doris is always not kosher. And if you knew for sure it wasn't a doris, it would also be mutter. The Gemara gives a bunch of simanim, but he says the ikar is, that we're looking for is that it's not a doris. So when the Gemara says that if it has an etz be'yaseir or zefek or korkavan niklof, then you know it's tar. That's just a way of knowing it's not a daris. But that's the ikur, is the daris. And what is daris? So, you know, Rashi says daris means that the animal picks up the food with its feet and eats that way. The Ramban says, what you're probably more used to, that it means it's predatorial. That it's rodef ophos and grabs it with its hands and kills it. And it'll eat it that way. So that's the doris. Okay, and what's wrong with the doris? It means these predatorial birds that go after other birds or other animals. So it's achzorius. It's cruelty. And he says behemoth also, it's possible it's the same issue that those that are mafris, parsa, and malagera are not predatorial. And a simino from the milk, as we know, is that a chalav of a tahar animal can be made into cheese, whereas a chalav of a non-tame animal, a chalav of a tame animal will not turn into cheese well, whereas a chalav of a tahar animal can be made into cheese, meaning a fully hard cheese with no milk pockets. And he says it's also possible that it's unhealthy. But this is all possibilities, not vadais. Okay. And we have the Sheretz HaOf, which Rashi says, besides that they crawl on the earth, he says that they're small or dak, and the Ramban doesn't agree with the size. The size is relevant. It's just that they walk on all fours. That's the Sheretz HaOf. Okay, then again, getting into Tuma Batara. So, we talk about getting through the veil. If you touch the veil of your tummy. So he just mentions that there's Tumas Masa, that is the Tuma of carrying, is more chamra than tumas maga, as we know, if you touch an avela. So it's less chamra than carrying it. Carrying means without touching, like holding it in a bag or whatever. That's carrying as opposed to touching. So carrying, he says, is more chamra in the sense that if you carry an avela, you need to wash your clothes too. It's matami, your clothes. And the clothes need to go to the mikveh, as opposed to just touching an avela. And the reason why masa is more chamer than negia is because, and this is interesting, Ramban says the reason why it is because when you touch something, you can touch it with one hand, right? But when you carry something, especially heavy things, your whole, you're carrying it. Two hands, or your whole body's carrying it. So often your clothes will help. You know, you're carrying a big package, it's up against you. So he said, since your clothes kind of help in carrying as opposed to touching, therefore your clothes have to go to the mikveh too. Okay, then we have a Ramban who gives us a reason for hechsher. Hechsher ochle, meaning for food to become tamei, it has to be mukshar lekabel tumah, which means that you have to want it to get wet. So why is that? So we know the general idea is you have to, in other words, getting wet's not enough. You have to want it to get wet, and only then can it become tummy. So the pashtus is that it's not food. You don't consider it food till it was washed, and therefore that makes it into food. But if it's just what makes it into food, so maybe you don't really need washing at all. I guess I said that badly. You have to want it to be food, but want, you know, your thought of I'm going to use it as food is not to be enough to be machshir. The kabel tumah needs to get wet. Why does it need to get wet? So I said that wrong originally. It's Ramban's explanation of why it needs to get wet is because I'll read his words. Lichluch hasheretz v'metame midbak b'machalos lachim. That the tumah of the sheretz is only davuk when it's wet and not when it's dry. And it's also tumah even once it gets dried off. That's just a gzera d'oraisa kind of thing of when it is wet. In other words, it's metame food that got wet once, al tzegzera otu when it is wet. Because otherwise it's nasata tvercha l'shirin. So anytime it gets water, it's always tummy. But the first thing is that you want it to be ochel, lekabel tumah. And then the water, the Rabban is explaining, is because tumah is only davuk when it's wet. I guess it's not a whole lot of an explanation, but it says lichluch hasheretz, that's what he's adding. The lichluch hasheretz only connects when it's wet. Okay. And you know, everyone, I don't know if you know, there's Rav Yosef Engel has a list of Syogim d'oraisa, where, you know, usually the Rabbanon are the ones who make you stay far away from Averos. There are a couple d'oraisa ones. Let's say L'sikra b'legala zereva, or Bayira on Pesach, according to some Rishonim, is lest you come to eat chametz. There are some d'oraisa things that are to keep you away from other d'oraisas. Okay, so Bayira is an easy example. You're not allowed to have chametz in your possession lest you come to eat it. So just according to this would be kind of like another one. I don't know Rav Yosef Engel's whole list by heart. Maybe this is in there. I don't know. But it would be similar to that kind of thing, where it's the Torah would be saying even once the food is dried off from the water, it's still already considered mukshal kabel tumah be mekabel tumah forever and ever, because it's a gzeira atu when it's like when it is wet, and then the lichluch hasheretz will stick to it more. Okay, and the last thing is the last pasuk is lahavdil ben tumah ben atarim. We have the drasha the Rashi brings that if you shecht an animal, So you have to shecht most of the simanim, rove of the simanim. So you have to be able to tell the difference between nishchat chetziv shelkana and nishchat rubo. So what that is a chut asara. If a person shechted and cut the simanim more than 50%, even a mashahu more, so then the animal's kosher. It's a kimlo hasaira. The Ramban just explains that, which you find in the Gemara, that you need a rov hanira le'inayim. It's not dafka. It's so that you could tell that you shechted more than half. But in reality, if you shechted more than half, even kachat hasaira, it's a kasher shechita. Okay, stop here.